Well, I'm glad Billy finally caught on to the fact that 5 o'clock is generally afternoon. It took daylight savings time for him to get there, but good afternoon. I am very happy to see you and hope that things are well with you. I am hoping that you're keeping up with daily Bible reading. It is in the book of Acts, and if you are caught up, you'll be a little over halfway through the book of Acts at this point, and you will be blessed in a great way. I used to teach the book of Acts occasionally, and one semester when I taught the book of Acts, there was a young man who probably would not be so young anymore. I think he works for the school system in McNairy County now in the office. And he's been the principal at Adamsville High School. His name is Brian Jackson. Some of you may know Brian. When Brian was a student at Freed-Hardeman, he was growing up in Raymer, Tennessee, and Jan and I were working with the church there in Raymer at that time, and Brian was a professional magician. And when we came to Acts chapter 8, I knew of Brian's work. I had seen him do his show, and I said, Brian, would you be willing to bring some of your magic to class as we begin to study about Simon in Acts chapter 8? And he did. And I got to tell you, this won't be a shock to anybody. They enjoyed the magic show so much, they weren't all that interested in Simon that day. But he was amazing. He could do some amazing things. He did so well, I encouraged our chapel committee to let him do a chapel program. And in that chapel program, he sawed his sister in half. He wanted me to be the one to be sawn in half, but I thought he might try something besides a trick if he got me in the box. But it's kind of neat to see magic tricks. But we know they're tricks. I didn't know how Brian did any of the stuff that he did, but I knew that it was a trick, that it wasn't real. I knew that if he were going to reach into a hat and pull a rabbit out of the hat, there was a rabbit around somewhere. It didn't just pop out of thin air. So Brian did those tricks. They're amazing. That kind of power over our minds, when you see someone able to do something like that, it's pretty impressive. We are drawn to power. That's one of the things I want you to know tonight in this message. And I'm looking at this story of the preaching of Philip down in the city of Samaria. You remember, as you read the book of Acts in chapter 7, there was the great stoning of Stephen. We looked at his sermon, and we saw what occurred there on that occasion. And we saw Saul there ready to take control of that situation and see Stephen stoned. And then when you get into the 8th chapter, as we look at it, in those first 4 verses, you'll read about a tremendous persecution that occurs in the church in Jerusalem, so that many of the disciples were spread out of the city, and Philip was one of those men who became an evangelist. He became a preacher as he traveled, and he was in the city of Samaria, and he was teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are signs that were in this story. And if you remember, when you read the end of the book of John, as John was down near the end of the 20th chapter of the book of John, he said many other tricks truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Is that what your Bible says? Not what my Bible says. It says many other signs, and the word sign there is a miraculous event, and a sign points to something. A sign is really nothing in and of itself. It leads us to something else. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that were not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe. The signs that were done by Jesus were done to produce faith in him as the Son of God. Now we come along, and here comes Stephen, who, being full of the Holy Spirit, was able to do some things. The apostles were full of the Holy Spirit, and they were able to do some things. They weren't tricks. They were real. They were capable of many amazing things. And so as we begin to take a look at the gospel in Samaria, we're going to see that the Samaritans had been seduced. They had been tricked into thinking that Simon was really something great. And they were tricked by his magic. They couldn't understand it, just like I couldn't understand Brian's tricks. But they thought that he was some form of God. He was really something special. But this story shows us that guys like Simon, who are not as real as they appear to be, long for something better. They long for something that's more real, that is something that they are able to hold on to. Simon understood himself. He knew that he wasn't able to do things that were as miraculous as he appeared to be or as others thought him to be. But when he hears the gospel, when the Samaritans hear the gospel, the power of the gospel, the simple message that Jesus Christ came into the world to save the world, to shed his blood, pay the price for our sin. It's a compelling story. And the powerful simplicity of the gospel just resonated. They could take that. And they began to see and understand that. One of the things that you and I need to truly trust in is that the truth about Jesus must be preached. Preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Don't just tell stories. Preach the word. And when the word is preached about Jesus of Nazareth and all that he has done, and someone takes that message into their heart, there's the reality and the possibility of great things happening. Very wonderful things. It can have a powerful effect on people. Now, power attracts people. Now, if I had on a tight-fitting T-shirt instead of a loose-fitting jacket, it wouldn't be very impressive at all. But there are some folks who are in this room that work out with weights, and they have pumped that iron, and they built them up. They may have even a 12-pack. We talk about 6-packs, but some people are so bad, they probably got a 12-pack. I have got a certifiable 1-pack. It is just a, you know, just one little, well, not so little anymore. But it's not powerful looking, and it wouldn't be impressive to anybody. But when we see power, it impresses us. I was so impressed with power when I was 16 years old. My family car was a little Corvair. Some of you old folks will remember a Corvair. Little old bitty car with the motor in the rear. It probably had upwards of 90 horsepower. And if you were going downhill with your foot mashed all the way to the floor, you could probably get up to 70, 75 miles an hour. Not much power. I didn't impress many people. Now, my brother-in-law, married to my youngest sister, he bought a Comet Cyclone, 289 high-performance engine, 4-speed on the floor. One night, he said, let's trade cars. He said it. I'm saying, are you looking at my car? I've got a Corvair. Mine was old. His was brand new. Man, I got in that car. I shoved that thing in first gear. I drove like a gentleman until I got out of his sight. And then I just wanted to feel the power. Man, you could mash that accelerator, pop that clutch, and you could turn those back wheels over. Some of you love that. I have to confess, I really never did beyond that night and maybe one other time in my life. I've never really cared much about speed. But power impresses people in cars. You just take a look at the tools that some of you have. It's so impressive, the power tools. We've got a screwdriver in the kitchen, and if I've got to tighten a little screw, I will go all the way out to the garage and get a power screwdriver so I don't have to work at turning this thing. I got to go get the power, so I just pull this little trigger. We are eaten up with the concept of power. It draws us. Look at verse 11 of Acts 8. With regard to Simon, they heeded him. They listened to what he had to say. They took in all the stuff that he wanted them to take in because they thought he had some authentic power. He had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. He'd been set up in the city. He had it made. He was probably making a great living. They were impressed. We can look back, and as far back in the Old Testament as you can see, there are stories of power. One that we begin to look at as we think about the book of Exodus in chapter 7 and 8, and we follow on through the plagues. What an amazing power there was. That power was so great that it touched the hearts of the Egyptian people. And when God commanded Moses to ask the Israelites to go to the Egyptians and ask them for things, they left Egypt wealthy. They took all kinds of great things because of the power. It scared them. It frightened them. It impressed them. And when that power of God that brought about the death of the firstborn, they would have given them anything to get them out of the country. Power is impressive. And so when we begin to think about the things that attract us, we have to understand it is power. When we hear something that is powerful, we need to understand that power without truth is dangerous. What if Philip had never come to Samaria with the simple gospel message and demonstrated the power of God? Simon's power would have had those people in his grip, in its grip, and he would have led them away from God. They heeded him. This is the second time that I have put it up there. It's the first time that I emboldened it and underlined it so you would understand that power without truth is dangerous. They were following Simon. With Simon, it probably brought a great living, but it brought a lot of attention and popularity, prestige. He had it made in the city of Samaria, most likely because of the power that he wielded with his sorcery. There are some people right today, maybe some in this room, who would fall for something powerful in this world and be led away from God. It might be that you would heed the preaching of someone who is so great. Boy, there's some powerful speakers in this world, some powerful presenters. They can tell you things in a way that you really want to hear it. And you think, wow, what a powerful message. Have you ever heard that phrase? What a powerful message. The reality is, just like the message of Simon, there is no power worthy of us being drawn to it unless it is the power of God. We hear people who are preaching and teaching. One way is as good as another. One church is as good as another. Those are phrases you will never read in God's Word. You will never hear it. We have great friends that are out there in the world who are worshiping, who are following wonderful people in terms of the world's concept of wonderful. And those people are powerful in their way. And they are leading us away from God when we accept their power. The only way that any one of us tonight is going to be headed in the right direction is through the power that comes from the preaching of Jesus. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we're not going to be wrestling or fighting against flesh and blood. That's not what it's all about. All of that iron pumping that our culture does, all of that jogging our culture does, all of that physical fitness of any kind that our culture does is going to mean nothing in our fight with the devil unless we use our physical power and strength to preach Christ. Because our wrestling is against principalities and powers against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are drawn to power. Power without truth is very dangerous. But it's the power of truth, the power of the message of God. The Apostle Paul said it this way, in his way, in Romans 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's where the power is, Paul says. Now, as we look, read again verses 5 through 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Philip didn't go down with a bag of magic tricks, trying to impress people, trying to get people to follow him. He went down to the city of Samaria. He preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord, even the people that had been listening to Simon, they heeded with one accord the things spoken by Philip. What did he speak? He preached Christ and salvation through Christ. They heeded this warning, this message. They heard and seen the miracles which he did. Not tricks. Not something powerful to make him seem like he was somebody, but the power of God. The power of God to produce an awe-inspiring effect that let them know that there was power in the words that Philip spoke because he was preaching to them about the Christ. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You see, this is real. This is real. It's not a trick. Those people who could not walk, they were able to walk. Those people who were controlled by demons, they were no longer controlled by demons. They were free. Free to get up and walk when they had been lame. Free to get up and listen to what God says when this evil spirit had had control of them. It is the message of Jesus Christ that frees us from a life of sin, where when we stand before God to be judged, this freedom is going to give us permission, if you will, to hear the words of Jesus that we so want to hear. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Preaching brings freedom and power when the preaching is about Christ. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, and look at this, and the name Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Simon himself also believed. He saw the reality of what Philip and the apostles did, and he wanted some reality in his life. He did no longer want the tricks he had. He wanted some reality in his life. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. When you compare God's message to the message of the world, there is no comparison. When Jesus Christ is preached, there is power. We read back in Acts chapter 4, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I can tell you tonight, there are worship opportunities out there somewhere, probably in Henderson, Tennessee, where you could be more entertained. You might have greater sense of experience when you leave some worship opportunities. But what you get when you do not focus on Christ, when you focus on the experience, when you focus on the joy that you can get, that you derive from getting to do what you want to do and make you feel good, that's what you get. What you get with Jesus is freedom. The preaching of His Word calls for us to listen to Him. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus teaches us that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. The preaching of Jesus must be done. Tonight, I have no power, no great speeches to make, no great things that will just entertain you to your sense of enjoyment. But I have the message of the Christ who invites you to be free from sin by being baptized if you need to. Who invites you to feel comfortable about life, to feel comfortable about death by doing what you can do when you hear the message of God. It is for that purpose that we sing this next song, so that you could respond if you have a need to respond. That's our hope. That's our prayer, that you'll come as we stand and as we sing.